Hello, that's better. Good morning. I think it would be a good idea to start with prayer. Lord, be with us this morning as we look together at your word. Speak to each of us and give us ears to hear what it is that you would have us hear. Speak your words to us this morning, Lord, we pray. Amen. At the start of our service today, we joyfully proclaimed, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We're still in the season of Easter, and we will use these words a lot. But what does it mean to us? Each time we say those words, Alleluia, Christ is risen, why does it matter? Well, I think there's a clue in both those readings that we heard this morning. Two long readings, two quite extraordinary readings, where Jesus filled his followers with hope, with boldness, encounters that transformed people. They really are two of the most extraordinary readings in the New Testament, and they both illustrate powerfully just what a difference Christ's death and resurrection made to individuals and to the world. For those of you who like to follow and to read for yourself, and it's always a good idea to check that I'm just not talking nonsense. We're going to start with Acts 9 on page 1040 and then move on to the John reading. So in Acts, we have the story of Saul, a man who believed in God. He was a Pharisee. He was the son of a Pharisee. He was part of the spiritual elite. But he did not see just who and what Jesus had been. He felt, along with the other Pharisees, that Jesus was bad news. He was teaching people to flout the rules, to disrespect tradition. He felt that he knew what it was to be a good follower of God. He felt he knew how a follower of God should act. Part of that was to stamp out this undisciplined rabble, this law-breaking rabble, wherever he found them and whenever he could. And yet, in a few moments, a few quite extraordinary moments, his world was turned upside down. And a short time later, all that same zeal, all that same passion was being channeled into telling other people about Jesus Christ, giving them the good news of Christ. What an amazing transformation. But in that same story, we have Ananias. We don't know much about him other than that he was a dedicated and faithful follower of Christ. When he was asked to do something that seemed utterly bonkers, dangerous, and totally counterintuitive, to look after this persecutor of Christians, his first response was, well, he wavered, didn't he? I love his response to God, because he basically said, God, are you sure you've got the right chap? You know who this man is, you know what he's done, what he's doing. He's basically telling God that he might well have got it wrong, but God tells him, go. Ananias listened to God's prompting. He trusted that God knew better than he knew, and he was obedient. Can you imagine how Ananias felt later when he saw God working powerfully through Paul, when he saw Paul helping others come to Christ? Imagine how he felt knowing that he had been a part of this miracle. Imagine how his life and his faith were transformed. His role in the drama of Acts is quite small, yet so significant. We see a man who wavered when he heard God's voice, yet despite his initial hesitation, he was faithful and obedient. And now, turn with me to page 1029, chapter 21 of John's Gospel, the story of a miraculous catch of fish, a breakfast on the beach, and then the most extraordinary conversation between Jesus and Peter. Impulsive, emotional, speak before you think Peter, who often got things very right, who often showed extraordinary insight, but who just as often got things spectacularly wrong. Impulsive Peter, the one of all the disciples who, when he recognized that this was Jesus on the beach, this is verse 7, he grabbed his outer garment, which he'd already taken off, wrapped it round him, and then jumped into the water, and either swam or waded the 100 meters or so to the beach. Despite the fact that the boat was only just off the shore, he could easily have reached Jesus a few minutes later with the other disciples without getting soaking wet. That is so Peter. But before we smile at yet another example of his hot-headed impulsiveness, we need to remember how Peter would have been feeling that morning. This is still a short time after Jesus was crucified and killed. The disciples have seen him. He's appeared to Thomas. He has spoken with Thomas. But there's been nothing to tell us whether at this point Peter and Jesus have spoken together. There's unfinished business here. Peter saw his master and his close friend arrested, tortured, and killed. There's no way he is going to have forgotten the part that he played in that on that evening of Jesus' arrest. As he stood warming himself by a fire, and he was recognized as one of Jesus' followers and denied even knowing him. This passionate follower of Jesus, who had declared so recently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you," had to live with the knowledge that when put to the test, his faith crumbled spectacularly. That not just once, but three times, he denied even knowing the man he had followed and loved. That when the chips were down beside that fire, he did nothing to save his friend and teacher. Imagine how he must have felt during those days following Jesus' death. Imagine how he must have felt every time the other disciples looked at him, wondering if they knew what he'd done, what he'd said, wondering if they were thinking about that. Imagine how he felt every time he saw his own reflection. And yet here, after breakfast, standing beside another fire on the shore, we have this extraordinarily intimate encounter between Peter and Jesus, the friend that he denied. It's one of the most intimate, and actually probably one of the most painful encounters in the New Testament. And the grace that Jesus shows him is staggering. Just as Peter had denied knowing Jesus three times, Jesus says to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" It's actually no wonder that we hear Peter was hurt when Jesus asked him for the third time. For days he will have been reliving those words that he said by that fire. He's now standing by another fire, and the significance of Jesus asking him for the third time if he loves him will be such a painful reminder. Yet Jesus doesn't ask Peter that in order to rub his face in it. You remember, Jesus had given Simon Peter a great new vision when he called him a rock on which his church would be built. But Peter had demonstrated that he was anything but a rock when he denied Jesus three times. But here, Peter is being given the gift of another day. This gift meant another day to start to be that rock, to fulfill that vision. Jesus never once said, "Well, if you love me, why did you deny me?" He knew that Peter will already have asked himself that question, that he will already have been punishing himself. But neither does Jesus say, "Okay, that's fine. That's okay then." Each time Peter affirms his love for him, Jesus says, in effect, "Good. You love me? Then go live it out. Feed my lambs. Look after my sheep. Look after my people. Give them the word, the good news that will feed them and nurture them and transform their lives too. Share what you have with others." He gives him the gift of another day and a job to do. You see, it's not enough just to let Christ transform our lives and bask in that rosy glow, knowing that we're all right, even if the world in general isn't. Ananias was a good follower of Christ, yet he was asked to do something dangerous, risky, something he didn't understand. And he did. Christ didn't convict Paul just for Paul's sake. He convicted him in a way that led to Paul wanting to dedicate the rest of his life to bringing others to Christ. And he did. Jesus didn't just put a sticky plaster over Peter's hurt and say, "There, there, it's okay. I still love you as I always have." He gave him a task to do: feed my sheep. And he did. Which of these stories of transformation resonates most powerfully and closely with you? Did you, a bit like Paul, have a Damascus experience when you went from not knowing Christ in your life to suddenly seeing who he is, experiencing his love for yourself? What a gift that is. If that's you, don't ever forget what that felt like. Let today's readings be a reminder of just how Jesus transformed your life. Relive again that joy of coming to know Christ and resolve to let it make a difference this week, next week, the week after. Possibly you've not had that extreme an experience. Perhaps you've been brought up in a Christian family and can hardly remember what it's like not to be a Christian. Yet you have experienced a deepening of your faith or have felt strengthened and filled with courage when you have been obedient to Christ. Even when it hasn't been the obvious or easy path to take, has your experience been a bit like that of Ananias? If so, you are so blessed. Because I can pretty much guarantee that you will have been an example to other Christians, perhaps even played a part in someone else's Damascus Road experience. Whether you know it or not, even Paul, who experienced Jesus speaking directly to him, needed friends to guide him, needed people to look after him, someone to take those scales from his eyes, to walk part of that journey with him. And I know from my own experience, it was seeing and getting to know mature Christians that made me want some of what they had. People who made me understand that life with Christ was different, who made me open to hearing him when it was my turn to take Christ into my life. How God must have loved Ananias as he took Paul by the hand, despite his fear and anxiety. How he must love you. Or maybe you can identify most with Peter. As a follower of Christ, you have known glorious times of certainty and joy. You know how good he is and how much better life is with him. And yet, so often, you feel you've let him down. So often there have been times where you just don't feel good enough, prayerful enough, faithful enough. And if so, perhaps you needed to hear those words today, to hear Jesus speak your name, asking you, "Do you love me?" And if that's you, would you hear those words now? Even as we sit here this morning, close your eyes if you want to, and just imagine Jesus beside you, speaking your name and asking, do you love me? And if you can say in your heart, yes, Lord, despite how rubbish I sometimes am, despite how often I get it wrong, I love you, then know, like Peter, that you are loved. Know yourself forgiven. Know that you have the opportunity this day, this week, to live out that love, that forgiveness in what you do and what you say. Feed my lambs. Look after my sheep. You too, just like Peter, accept the gift of another day. And of course, there could be people here who aren't sure which story of transformation you identify most closely with because you don't yet know Christ. You haven't yet taken that step. If that is you, you have one of the most exciting, transforming, life-changing experiences ahead of you. How exciting is that? If you are open to it, if you ask Christ into your life, that life will be so much richer and fuller. I've heard so many people's stories of transformation and new purpose. The stories vary from person to person. Everyone's story is different, but every time it is good. It is exciting. If that's you, maybe that's the reason that we had those readings today, just for you. Whatever it is, and whoever you identified most closely with this morning, the important question is, what is our response? What is it that he is asking us to do? It might be taking that first step to acknowledge him. It might be telling the good news to others. It might be joining a life group, signing up for a discipleship course, committing to spending time with other Christians so that we can be fed and equipped and enabled. It might be serving other people in a way that we haven't before, just as Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It may be something as simple as going on a rota to help other people at church. Whatever it is, that call from Christ to follow him generally means just that. Remember, it's not enough just to let Christ transform our lives and to bathe in the rosy glow, knowing that we are all right even if the rest of the world isn't. We are disciples. He has a job for us to do. You may already be doing it. You may sense already where he's leading you. But if not, spend time in prayer. Spend time with him to hear what he is prompting you to do that may transform your life, that may be your gift of another day. Because wherever we are on our journey of faith, the events of Holy Week, of Good Friday, of Easter Sunday changed everything for you. Jesus dying for you and rising again, having defeated death, changes everything. That is why we celebrate this wonderful season of Easter as we say together, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.